This week, we'd like to see the title of false prophets in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 29. For online courses people, we'd like to suggest three questions. In verse 15, what does a false prophet mean? What does a false prophet mean in this context? Question 2, in verses 17 through 19, what does good fruit mean? What does good fruit mean? Last question, in verse 29, what does authority mean? What does authority mean? First of all, we want to see a little background in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13, 14. Jesus talks about enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So Jesus basically talk about enter by the narrow gate. Narrow gate is the way which leads to life. So only one through the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior we can be saved. Then verse 15, beware of false prophets. Here we see, you know, some kind of, we understand false prophet, but a little different from previous verse 13 and 14, non-narrow gate, some kind of false prophet, who comes to you in sheep's clothing, but outside the sheep's clothing, looks like, you know, the regular true prophet, but inwardly meaning hidden intent, motively, they are ravenous wolves. Ravenous meaning very hungry, you know, wolves. Very hungry wolves probably are trying to eat, you know, sheep, you know, like it. So here, false prophet implied some intent for own selfishness or own covetousness, not like thinking for the Lord Jesus Christ, for God. So that's why false prophet means persons who deliver inconsistent with God's word. Originally, prophet means a person who delivers God's word. That is, but false prophet, a person inconsistent with God's word. That kind of example, one Jeremiah chapter 23, Jeremiah introduced, you know, four types of false prophet. First type is Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 13, and I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied by Baal and caused my people Israel to err. First, another religion, you know, are brought equal authority to God's word. That's a problem. Here, they talk about the Baal. Today, you know, somebody said we are Christianity, but they are bringing other doctrine, other book, you know, equal authority to God's word. That is the first type of false prophet, the Jeremiah, inspired by God, delivered the God's word, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 13. Second type is Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 16. This says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesied to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. Here, own human thoughts are trying to have equal authority to God's word. So in order to understand the God's word, we might bring a human thought, a human explanation, that's okay. But the here problem is own heart thought, own imagination lifted up to the equal authority to God's word. That's a problem. That is a second type of false prophet. The third type of false prophet, verse 28. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream, and who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Faithfully meaning consistently. No matter what, some people join here or not, no matter what, you know, offering is made, you know, to consistently deliver my word, God's word. That is, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, said the Lord. Here, the chaff is a symbol of a dream. Dream is a spiritual experience coming from God's word. So wheat itself is a symbol of God's word. So we sometimes own personal experience, spiritual experience, exciting dream or exciting experience, exciting testimony, everything okay, but that spiritual expression cannot be equal authority to God's word. You know, that is the third type of false prophet. So we can bring our testimony that wonderfully God works through me, that's fine. But those testimony should be instrument to understand God's word, to comprehend God's word, rather than to have equal authority to God's word. The last one is verse 36, the fourth type. And the oracle of the Lord you shall mention no more, for every man's word will be his oracle, his own authoritative word. For you have perverted the words of the living God, the Lord of hosts, our God. Here is one example. Actually, prophet point out particular God's word, but without consideration of context or syntax, they perverted the original intent of God's word. That kind of one typical example, Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, Satan, in order to tempt Jesus Christ, Satan cited God's word. The book of Psalm, chapter 91, said, then the devil took Jesus up into the holy city, set Jesus on the pinnacle of the temple, or at the top of the temple, and said to Jesus, here, the Psalm, chapter 91, if you are the Son of God, chapter 91, particular verse 12, throw yourself down, for it is written in Psalm chapter 91, he, God shall give God's angels charges over you, and in their hands, God's angels' hands, they shall bear you, bear Jesus up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So Satan cited God's word without seeing context syntax. Chapter 9, context, initial intent of God is God is a protector, God is a defender. That's why example God, you know, show up, you know, this way, you know, Son of God, children of God, you know, fall down from top of a mountain, God will protect, you know, their foot. You know, that kind of explanation. Here totally Satan used this particular word in order to tempt Jesus as the slave of Satan. So that is one perverted using God's word, the last four types of it, false prophet. Then here, verse 16, you will know him by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or fig from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit. But a bad tree, or an evil tree, or a corrupt tree, bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. So here, verse 17-19, what do you mean in a good fruit? John chapter 15, Jesus said, verse 5 and 6, I am the vine. You are the branches. You are meaning Christians. We are believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, Savior. You are the branches, Jesus the vine. He who abides in me. So you who abide in Jesus, I in him. Which means Jesus describing unity. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the Lord, the vine, in branches. then bears much fruit. Here, requirement we abide in Jesus, or we abide in vine tree itself. For without me, without vine tree, you can do nothing, or you cannot bear any grapes at all. Verse 8, by this, my Father is glorified. So much fruit, you know, by this, if you bear fruit, by this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Here is a very indicating the good fruit meaning. First, require disciples meaning. First step is deny yourself, complete deny. So God does not allow your flesh work at all. Deny yourself, then as a bear. So you know God's call, God's given our cross, God's calling to us. Then follow Jesus. That is a disciples' requirement. So in order to bear good fruit, first time we must abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, or we must obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Then is how you know work that in John chapter 14 verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him, the Spirit of truth, nor knows him, the Spirit of truth. But you know him, you are Christian, you know the Spirit of truth, for he dwells, the Spirit dwells with you and will be in you. Bottom line, if we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells in me, the Holy Spirit through me work, produce fruit. Basically, it doesn't mean that fruit is good fruit. Or Titus chapter 3, verse 5, more clearly indicate not your work, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Not our righteousness, not our human righteousness, but according to his mercy, God's mercy. He saved us through the washing of regeneration, newborn, and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. That time the Holy Spirit dwells in us. The Holy Spirit worked through us, not in our works. For example, how about our human righteousness? The Bible, Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, very clearly said, all our righteousness are like filthy rags. So which meaning, no matter what human righteousness, not enough to reach God's righteousness. Even Buddha, human righteousness, still are not enough to God's righteousness, which even Buddha's righteousness is filthy rag. Who said? God said. That's why Christianity is totally different from religion. Because Christianity, infinite God gave his son to us, finite man. So through his son with death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit come into us. Because the Holy Spirit power worked through us. Basically, God gives his power, his authority, you know, to us through Holy Spirit. That's why we can do righteousness, God's righteousness. Actually, not us. You know, outside it looks like human doing, Christian doing, but really the Holy Spirit through human Christians work his righteousness. That's a total difference here. Then also Galatians chapter 5 verses 22-23 clearly said, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love is agape love. You know, that is a very big term, generous term. Agape love can describe as many attributes, many elements, many descriptions. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and so on. Or long-suffering, or patience, the first Corinthians chapter 13. How about is flesh, works of the flesh, works of the human flesh. That is Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, verse 21. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath or outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelry in a parties and people, and the like. You know, I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, past meaning before you accept the Lord Jesus Christ Savior, that those who practice such a thing, practice meaning habitual habit of those things. So born again Christian might once commit fornication or ambitions, adultery, like David King, once, not practice, then immediately he repented his sin before the Lord, you know, like that here. Practice meaning habitual, you know, habit. Such a thing will not inherit the kingdom of God. Here we know that good fruit, you know, what does it mean? The fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit controlling life. That is a result, you know, fruit. That is called a good fruit. Verse 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So because they will not inherit the kingdom of God. That kind of example, Matthew chapter 21, verse 18, through 21, you know, Jesus wanted to. Now in the morning, as Jesus returned to the city, Jesus was hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it, which meaning no fruit on fig tree, but leaves, leaf only, and said to fig tree, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately the fig tree withered away. And when disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? So Jesus answered and said to disciples, assuredly, I say to you, if you have a faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. Jesus basically fig tree, no fruit, you know, Jesus withered the fig tree immediately. Then Jesus taught his disciples a faith. You know, faith is the original root is the word of God, because of faith is hearing, hearing by the word of God, you know. Word of God meaning word of Christ, you know, that's the same thing. Because the John chapter 5 verse 39, Jesus said, the Bible testify of me. So Bible himself, you know, God's word, you know, the obvious Old Testament is the shadow of the New Testament. So entire Bible, you know, talk about, you know, the God, you know, also God's word, you know, Jesus' word. So entire scriptures inspired us by God, you know, that is means. Here, therefore, by their fruit, you will know them. So we know that somebody said, I love you. How do I know you love me? We can know his act, his behavior, you know, will manifest his love, his inward love to me. So that kind of meaning. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God. Here, the word, oral word of Lord, Lord, not enough to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven does obey God's word. So need to begin acting like the word. You know, that is, does the will of my Father in heaven. So we know that last time we talked about, you know, the Lord's Prayer. Last time is last portion that, you know, the glory forever. But we pray many times in church, glory forever. But in real Christian life, not glory forever. You know, somebody, people, testimony, listen to them. Actually, every glory to testify human himself. The Lord is working, put words and put aside. When you know we listen to some Christians and testimony, they're like, you know, I personally so feel uncomfortable. Here, God is the will of my Father. So Lord meaning Master. The Master of your life is the Lord Jesus Christ, which meaning each life should be obedient to Jesus Christ. That means, Lord, you know, actually means Lord, Master, or we are slave, or we are servant. That kind of concept developed to employer, employee, today American law. So when you go to law school, you should learn, you know, the master-servant law, or, you know, that is a Latin word, respondeat superior law, you know, some kind of like that. That kind of key, that kind of meaning, Lord is a leader, controller, you know, your Christian life. This does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, what a law. But their behavior, their life, their actual life, not like the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord or Master, rather than himself as the Lord, Lord treated as a servant. Lord, Lord, have you not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, iniquity, or sin. Simply meaning disobedience. So that kind of Romans chapter 10, verse 9, we said, chapter 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that you had raised him from the dead, you will be saved. First, obviously, require oral word, confess, then in your heart here. Believe in your heart, not only mouth, in heart, then you will be saved. Then Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Here, they, you know, some donor want to be recognized by the people rather than by God. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrite. Hypocrites is like outside is sheep mask, but inside or inward or, you know, wolf. That is verse 15. Exactly like, you know, sheep's clothing. You know, outward showing sheep's clothing, but inwardly ravenous wolves in heart ravenous. That is a type of hypocrites, because they are seeking for their own selfishness or covetousness. So, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the street, and they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That your charitable deed may be in secret, but your Father who sees it in secret will himself reward you often. That's why last time online somebody asked me to be so, but I didn't say so particular this person, because here I don't law, you know, his reward, you know, from God openly. That is my pure heart. You know, that's why I don't want to disclose. Although, you know, some treasurer knew that, you know, who did. But we don't want to disclose it, you know, his name, their names at all. Because God particularly says so. that also the 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, but there were also false prophets here, disciple Peter, among the people, even as they were be false teachers. You know, false teachers, false prophet. Prophet meaning a person who delivers God's word, obviously can apply to teacher or pastor who teaches Bible, or minister who teaches Bible, or evangelist who delivers God's word, or a parent who teaches God's word to his children or her children. So we can apply, you know, the prophet, you know, whoever teaches, whoever delivers God's word, you know, everybody. Among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Destructive heresies. Heresies meaning different gospel. Even angels deliver different gospel, disciples said. Even angels will be cursed. That is clear. Dead heresy, even denying the Lord who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. Swift meaning quickly destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. You know, blasphemed meaning defamed by covetousness. Here, covetousness. Desire or selfishness. Covetousness, they will exploit you, abuse you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber, does not be slowly. So that is disciple Peter talks about the bringing, you know, heresy or the covetousness motive, you know. Those prophets are, you know, false prophets. An example here, you know, here. Then here, verse 24. Here, verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I would declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice iniquity. Here, practice. Practice meaning habitual, you know, iniquity. So certain Christian once fell adultery or some kind of, you know, the, here, you know, some example, you know, here, you know, several things, contention or outburst or anger, but not practice, not habitual. You know, once, you know, can happen. That time, you know, we repent that sin, you know, to the Lord. The Lord, you know, will forgive it, you know, would forgive us, you know, that kind of continually the live, you know, for God's glory. Verse 24 and through 28 here, therefore, whoever hears these saying of mine, Jesus saying of mine meaning Jesus saying, Jesus is the Son of God, is, you know, God the Father. We know that Trinity God. So Jesus' word, you know, equal to God's word. Jesus is God because Jesus is the Son of God. You know, the Bible also, you know, testify of Jesus. These sayings of mine or, you know, God's word, and does them obey Jesus' saying. So not only saying, but obey Jesus' word or act, you know, like that word. I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. This question, what is a rock? Rock is the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says, rock is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Rock is, you know, basically Jesus Christ. But John chapter 1, verse 1, you know, said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So rock is a foundation, Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ's Word, or God's Word. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Verse 26, but everyone who bears this saying of mine, again, Jesus' Word, and does not do that, which means does not obey God's word, does not stay on the rock. You know, Jesus said, Peter, you know, confessed, you are the Christ, the son of a living God. Then Jesus said, "No, you are Peter. On this rock, I will build my church." In this rock, meaning Peter's compassion over not Peter's corpse, the physical body. We know that in the same chapter, Matthew 16, next time Jesus said to decide Peter, "I will die, after 3 days I will rise up." Then probably 15 seconds, Jesus said, "Satan, get away." So Jesus immediately, they pointed out Peter as a Satan, so we know that. So on this rock, meaning compassion of disciple Peter, "You are the Christ and you are the Son of the living God." That is a rock. So the rock is basically the Lord Jesus Christ, or His word. So then here, "Does not do them," not obey, "will be like a foolish man," not a wise man, "foolish man, who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." But unfortunately, some Christians, based upon the experience, experience like a very shabby. But if you got a lot of earning, that time you feel so good. That time you feel like so blessed. But if you got bankrupt, that time feeling so bad. So you feel like accursed like that. So it's that kind of feeling. So our is relying upon the word of God, God's word. That's why we can rejoice always, because our the source of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ already beat up Satan's lot of things, illness, all come from sin. Illness, terrible, everything is like the ungoodness coming from Satan. God already beat up by raising up from the dead. So we are simply enjoying the Lord Jesus Christ's victory. That's why we can rejoice. Always, which meaning, regardless of what happened, what feeling, like that. Then in verse 28 also, "And so it was when Jesus had ended, Jesus saying," right here, verse 24, "Jesus saying of mine," verse 26, "Jesus saying of mine," verse 28, "Jesus saying." Everything Jesus saying is meaning God's word, or the Lord Jesus Christ. That before, because God was the God, that's why. The Lord Jesus Christ, or God's word. "That the people were astonished at his teaching," Jesus' teaching, "for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Scribes' authority is limited. Scribes is an official job at that time. So at that time, no developed copy machine like that. Scribes only authority to copy original scriptures inspired by God, exactly same as original script. Very limited authority to copy original scriptures. Here, Jesus' authority meaning original authority make up God's word. That means, authority meaning is original authority, the scriptures inspired by the Holy Spirit. That it means. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 said, Jesus said, "And Jesus came and spoke to disciples, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." So Jesus clearly said, all authority has been given to me, Jesus, not to disciples, all authority to him. So that's why today we are studying the God's word. No matter what circumstances, we should always meditate in God's word. We rely upon the word. We need to begin acting like God's word, to obey God's word. That is very important. Although not perfect, but at least being sanctified, just like Jesus Christ. That's a necessity. So it's a question in verse 15, what does a false prophet mean? False prophet, persons who deliver inconsistent with God's word. That is, you can use God's word in many ways. Maybe word alone, but in word or heart, you know, maybe different. God never say, you know, word this way, but heart in different way. So your word, teaching word and the heart should be consistent, not inconsistent, always consistent. Also, number two, in verses 17 and 19, what does good proof mean? Good proof meaning the fruit of the Spirit, or of the Holy Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit, of the truth. That means the good fruit. Then in verse 29, what does authority mean? Jesus' authority meaning original authority over God's word, you know, or original authority over scriptures inspired by God. You know, that means. Okay, let's just sing song. Last song, the spiritual songs book, page 4, number 11.